Today's daf from the Masechet Shviit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Tes, and we're holding right in the fourth perek at Halacha Gimel. So, we've been talking about the question of what happens if you would actually prepare your field during Shviyas. So we spoke in the previous perek, what's the Halacha in terms of Metzari Shviyas and so on. Now the question is, Benogea, the Inyanim that we have here, in our perek, of telling people even thank you and so on, which encourages them to feel that they have a right to their peres, what would be the din about actually encouraging people to do work for you during Shviyas by, let's say, promising them a rental? So you go over to a guy and you say, you know, if I had a nice plowed field on Matzoy Shviyas, I'd be happy to make a good deal with you and pay you rent to be able to, you know, give you a proportion. We'll split the product of your field on Matzoy Shviyas. Are you allowed to do that? So this is, of course, Nogaz, we'll see a continuation of the connection to Yisroel, who's doing that kind of thing, and whether that's considered to be the equivalent of Beteva. So you are allowed to make a deal with a guy, and you tell him, I'm going to be paying you 30% of what we grow on Mitzvah Shviyas during the eighth year, if I'm able to rent from you a field that's been properly plowed and is all ready for me, which means that you're basically telling him that he can plow a field for you on Shviyas. And you're allowed to do that, even though that's exactly what you're encouraging to do, because the goyim are not mitzuvim on the dinim of Shviyas at all. But you would not be allowed to do such a thing via Yisrael, because then you would be actually getting them to do an iser during Shviyas. Umachaskinan yedei goyim b'Shviyas. When you see goyim that are working their fields during Shviyas, you can even tell them, techaskena yedeichem, you know, you should be strong, you know, good plowing. But obviously you can't do that for a Yisrael. So, I mean, it doesn't seem to be much of a chiddush that you can't do that for Yisrael. Obviously it's also to be in any way to be Messiah. So because of that, some of the Mefarshim explain that this is going back on the sugya that we had, that we just explained at great length in the Yerushalmi, that we're talking about during that period in which the government was actually making it dangerous not to plant during Shemitah. So over there, the Chachomim were matir. And they were only matir the first planting. They weren't matir the second planting. And according to the Bavli, they were only matir cleaning it. They weren't actually matir plowing at all. Okay, that was the machlokes we had before. And the chiddush over here is that if somebody is utilizing that heter to do harisha during Shviyas, you would still not be allowed to give him a chaskeni yedechem, you know, should go easy for you while you, because it shows that you're happy at the fact that, you know, we're able to plant. Thank God we're able to plant in Shviyas this year. You know, great, do a good job planting. It's the wrong attitude. And then this other next sugya is just a general question of Darkei Sholeim, which is not related to the question of whether you're considered being Misayeya Bevrei Avera. Here the halacha is that you're allowed to be Shol B'Shloimam, even though we're talking about not stam to be shel b'shleimam, but even if it is a time where it's by one of their holidays, and if you say, how you doing, Joe, and shalom aleichem, or whatever, then that guy may be makir teif to Zavei Zora, and he'll have a better Thanksgiving or a better Xmas, whatever. So you're, that the Bavli explains, is actually a reference, even though they might be made to their Zavei Zora. But again, because of Darkei Sholeim, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Otherwise, obviously, you're mechuyav always to be mu'aravim abriyos. You know, I was actually at a shiva. Those of you who daven with me in Yad Tamar, so you know the blind man, the father of the rav. So his father, who I knew, his father was nifter years ago, and I was at that shiva. And there were Arabs that came up to the shiva, and they said that this man, he never saw them on the street without giving them a big boker tov, telling them, asking about their families, making sure that they were feeling that he appreciates the fact that they're cleaning the garbage for him. And that was mamish made such a kiddush Hashem. So that is the davar pashut that b'pnei darkei shalom you do that. Therefore, the chiddush over here is that it's the darkei shalom which you would be chayshish maybe is osir because of the fact that it could bring to haskar's teva for avodah zar. Okay, so let's take a look at our gemara. Chochrim nirim and from a goy and so on. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be mechazik yideim. What exactly does that mean? So Reb Chiya and Reb Ami argue what it means. Chad omar charosh bat tavot, that you're allowed to say, you do a good job on plowing this field, and ana nasim vach minach bat shmitas, I am going to take it off your hands by paying you after shviyas. So in other words, it's not stam that you can say something nice to him. You can actually tell him, you go and do a good job on the harusha, and I'll actually pay you. Meaning you'll end up getting paid for the fact that you had a good field to rent me after Shvias. The Charana Amar, no. To mention the Harisha, you cannot do it, but you can say Ishar, but not to actually mention, do the Harisha for me. And how do they fit that into the Mishnah where it also says that you can, in general, shayalim bishleimam. So in other words, Yerushalmi oath of the shayalim bishleimam is in the same sense. It's not a general din of shayalim bishleimam, the way the Bavli learns. So man diyama charosh batavos, if you hold that when it says at the beginning of the Mishnah that you can only be mechazik them, that means already to say beferish, to do it good harisha. So what does the Mishnah mean when it adds b'shayalim b'shloma? So what is that referring to? Basically, there's three parts over here to the Mishnah. There's obviously the Isser of Amir Li Yisrael. Okay. There's the sense of being mechazik them, which is the first part. And that's what exactly it means to be mechazik them. And then there's this nu'alach of shayalim b'shloma. Now, in terms of the way that the words are being used, how exactly do we fit them in? So if you're going to tell me that you're actually allowed during Shemitah to tell them Charosh, so then the Shalim B'Shlomam is a completely different thing. The Shalim B'Shlomam is saying, Chazak V'Yamatz in general. But the Mandi Omar, that the meaning of Shalim B'Shlomam, so Mandi Omar, that the meaning, of the Mechazki Yedeyan is to say Chazak V'Yamatz. So then, what do you mean by saying Shoylen B'Shloimam? No, that means you can even say Shalom Aleichem. So many learn that this means, this is how the Rosh Mishantz learns, that the idea over here is that even if you're talking to Yisroel, who does Melachas in Shvias, then you're allowed to say, if it isn't Bishas Melacha, you're allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. Okay? The question is, you're allowed, obviously, while he's doing it, you can't be Mechazik Yoda. But if it's clear that this is a guy who's not Shem B'Shvias, are you allowed to say anything to actually mashma that you don't care about the fact he's not being Shem B'Shvias? Well, actually, Dalma, remember we understood the Lashon of Dalma, we spoke about the first time we had that Lashon, which is, Dalma is just a term that's used to say Maisahaya. But the question is whether it comes from the words Dalema in typical Yerushalmi fashion, in which I just cut down the two words into one word, Dalma, which doesn't mean anything. So I want to tell you over a story would be one way of understanding it. And that is the Rebbe Chanina Bar Pop and Shmuel Bar Nachman. They were passing by a guy who was a Yisroel, and he used to plow on Shvias. And Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachman said to him, Yasher, Omale Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa, Lo ke nilfan Rebbe, Reb Chanina Bar Papa, was mochiach him in a nice way. Because actually, it wasn't. And the fact is, Reb Chanina Bar Papa was telling him his own drasha, but he didn't want to make it seem like, well, I'm going to teach you. So he said, I believe that I learned from you. You know, so he said it in a derech of kovet. So, okay, Neil van Rebbe, didn't Rebbe teach us that the meaning of the pasuk, lo amru ha'ovrim, when it says in that pasuk, lo amru ha'ovrim, birkat Hashem malichem, birachnu etchem, b'shem Hashem, that means that you should not say to people who are over avera, mikancha osu lomar, L'chorshe shviz, isha, and the meaning of ovrim is, you don't say birchas Hashem aleichem. Amalei, Shmuel Bar Nachman said, look, it's very nice that you attribute this to me, but it's ridiculous. So don't give me your phony drushes, because somebody taught you how to read, but nobody taught you how to understand, you know? It's about time somebody gives you a lesson how to read a pasuk, not to teach me how to read Hebrew. So, likrot ata yodea. But Lidrosh, Yata Yodea. So just because you know how to read the Hebrew doesn't mean you can tell me a drasha. The meaning over here, according to Chazal, of Lo Amruha Ovrim, who are the Ovrim in the world? The Ovrim in the world are people that are just passing through. You know, they're just passing through life. Who's that? That's Ovdei Kochavim. Ovdei Kochavim are Ovrim Mina Olam. They're always on their way out of the world. All of these Goyim are going to disappear. So those are called Ovrim. And the thing is, they never said to Am Yisrael, oh, Birchas Hashem Aleichem. So what do we say to them? Berachnu etchem b'shem Hashem. You know, lo dayachem, you bastards. It's not enough that kol ha-brachot v'bo'ot olam b'shvilein. Everything you have in life, all of your big economies, all of your gigantic corporations, it's all brachas for us. We're the ones who bring all of the brachas to the world, like the Medrash tells us, that it's the Nivrechu b'chokom mishpachot ha'adamah. So not enough that you get everything you have, but you never say, thank you, that's for sure. That's if that's not enough, that ain't at the momrim lanu. Oh, why don't you come along and share in some of these amazing brachas that you brought us? But not only that, Lord, and Zimayot, and Gogoliot, and Arnoniot. I mean, it's like every day it's another tax bill. Every day it's another fine. Every day it's another parking ticket. I mean, you incredible monstrosities. Instead of saying thank you, this is the way that you treat us. Okay. L'maisa, Horu Rabbi Ami, Lirdotimo. So this is like a very strange kind of thing. Because lirdot usually means that you take your rodeh from a beehive, right? Why we would suddenly bring beehives over here is very strange. But that's how the Rambam learns it. The Rambam says, "Mutar lirdot imahem hakaveret," because ena b'nei chiyuv kedei leknos otam. So, okay, I mean, look, it could be that you're allowed to help him to take out from a beehive, because remember we had that machlokas about whether a beehive is considered to be karka or not. So therefore, saying that benogea shviyas, the din of ketsira, does not have any implications about honey in a beehive, even if Yod has a din of karka, doesn't have a din of shviyas. So it's bringing in already agav the halacha that we're talking about. The goyim, it brings in this halacha, which is very weird, because, I mean, it should say you're allowed to take honey out of your own beehive. If you're telling me that, well, why all of a sudden would we bring it here? It doesn't seem to be nogea this question. So actually, the point of the gra is that lirdot does not mean to take a beehive. Lirdot means to take off, to lower. So it means you can help him to take off his plow from his tractor in order to be able to clean it off so that it would do better work, or to fix it if necessary. And that's not different than saying, do a good job at doing Harisha, which that actually, even though it's not the way the Rambam is learning, seems to be an easier way to understand the sugya, for sure.
Wow. It brings to mind the pasuk in Hallel of that they're like dvarim, you know, attacking you, right? That's that. I was wondering if that's
what does it bring to mind? I'm not catching that.
The pasuk that we say in Hallel about the dvarim and they're surrounding you. And just coming out of, you know, and then you take taxes from us, etc., and people taking bites. That's what came to mind. So something that would
Kasheta Sena Hadvorim. That's what that's based on. Perek Revi, Halacha Dalet. In fact, in our version that we're using in the Hod V'Hadar, Oz V'Hadar, this is Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. So, Hameidero Bezeitim. So, we've been talking about the questions of what type of things that you would be doing during Shemitah would be considered to be usable after Shemitah, and what type of things are you allowed to engage in that wouldn't be viewed as something that you're doing in your property. And this is more the getter of the issues that were raised in the previous parak about what looks like in terms of sikol, what looks like you're trying to clear out your field, or the cases of the which we started with over here, where we weren't talking about stones, we're talking about sticks, and we were talking about various straw and things like that. So here we have another question. If somebody is being meidel bezeitim, now this meidel bezeitim, the Rambam understands that the whole sugya is referring to somebody who is in looking for wood, and he's chopping wood, and he wants to take these olive trees for their wood. Whereas others learn, and that's the Rosh Mishantz's pshat, that the word meidel comes from the word lidalel. So lidalel means to make it less powerful, meaning that he thins them. So he understands that we're talking about thinning, which was the way that the Gemara brought a raya earlier, if you recall, from this Mishnah, that if you're just thinning between other things, that then it's not considered to be that it's obvious that you want to clear the area. Okay, so if you're thinning, so why would you be thinning? So the halacha is that, the metzias is that when you first plant, and you have no idea which trees are going to actually take, which trees will take root. So you plant a lot of trees, more than the land is really capable of supporting once they start growing in such a small area. And then you come back, and after you see that, you know, a year has passed, these trees are growing, there's too many trees, you're going to take some of those trees out to allow the other trees to grow. And that would be the simple meaning of dilul, thinning things out, making them weaker. So Beit Shammai Omrim Yogum, what you have to do is you have to only cut it to the ground level. You cannot go ahead and tear the roots out, because if you tear the roots out, then everybody is going to say, why does he have to clear the roots out over here? Must be he wants to plant this field. So it looks like you're doing Harish on Shrias. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, there's no problem. Because, look, you're not clearing out a whole area. You're only taking out trees from between other trees. I mean, how would anybody think that you're plowing when you're leaving in all the other trees? So therefore, there's no problem. He can even be Misharesh and go and rip out the roots itself. But Basil is Moda, that in a case where Machalik, where over there you're trying to actually make a clearing, now that's a problem. Because then if it's a whole clearing, then it does look like you are taking him out to actually plant there. There he's made a Achi Agum. So even though you Lamais are clearing it out because you want the firewood, but you're only allowed to be gomim. What do we mean, therefore, by saying that you're meidel? In other words, Basil didn't exactly say how many trees. I mean, he just said this broad idea of a difference between making a clearing and being meidel. I mean, the tree that you ripped out between two other trees is making a clearing between the two trees. I mean, those are terms that you haven't defined as well. So what's the definition? a zel nidel. In other words, where did Beit Hillel say that you could be Masharish? And where did he say you cannot be Masharish? So the case of Beit Hillel, you take out one or two trees even next to each other, but then you've got another tree in the way. So you got to leave one tree behind. Whereas a machalik would be wherever you've got three trees in a row that you're uprooting, that's a clearing. So shlosha, ze betzad ze, is considered to be osir, even I'll leave it a basil. But medvarim amurim, mitosh shalom. When do we say that even Beis Hillel is Meida and you have to worry about being Mashrish? That's only if you're working in your own Sada. But if you're working in another guy's field, everybody understands you're not doing him no favors. You are actually walking off with his wood. He allowed you to take the wood over there. Even if you're making a big clearing, Yafa Machalik, you could be Misharesh, because nobody's going to think you're being Misharesh in the other guy's field, because people, in general, don't work for the other guy. They look out for number one. So that's the meaning of the Meidel. Now, how about in a case? So our Mishnah considers this to all be part, at least in this particular print, it includes all the Mishnayos together. In other places, this is viewed as another halacha, so it would be halacha hey. But this is the Seder that we're using, so we'll continue on going into the next part. Hamavkia bazayit. So let's say somebody, this works out very well according to the Rambam, you're just cutting down branches from an olive tree, which were very popular to use for hasaka. Lo yechapeo be'afar. Do not cover up the cut of the branch with a mud pack. Because in doing that, and you will recall that we had a very important halacha at the beginning of the Masechet that we defined, the difference between, when we did the Mishnayos, we defined this, the difference between ukume ilana and uvruye ilana. To be mekayim the tree, that it shouldn't die, you're allowed to do. But to make it stronger, you're not allowed to do. So if you use a mud pack on the place where you actually had cut it, that makes the tree grow better. In which case, it's called a tikkun ilan, it's a vruye ilana, and therefore, anything that is called a tikkun is considered to be usher during Shemitah. So what should you do? You cover the cut with avanim or kash, so that prevents parasites from getting into it, prevents it from drying out, but it does not cause it to grow better. So that's called ukume ilana. You're just being mekayim the ilan, and that is mut. Now, remember that we've talked about sycamore trees, and those trees were planted specifically because they grow very rapidly and thickly, and they're used for korot. They're actually used for lumber. So if somebody has been kotzeitz korot shikma, and over there, that is also going to leave an area that was cut. And the norm was to cover that up with a mud pack. Even that, lo yechapeo ba'afar. And even that, mechasehu ba'avanim o bekash. Which leads us to the next sycamore issue. So, to remember that the sycamore, the way in which you generally grew sycamore was that you waited until it reached a certain level of growth, and then you did the first cut. The first cut is called cutting the virgin sycamore. So virgin sycamore, that first cut causes it to grow, and then it starts forming a nice lumber that you like. And therefore, the halacha is like this. Ein kotzin betulat shikma b'shvi'int. If it was never cut before, so it's a virgin, then you don't start with that. Because doing that is really the most important avodata ilan that you can do for a sycamore. It will not start growing proper lumber until it's had its first taste of the blade, so to speak. And therefore, you are going to be megadel the tree once you take the virgin and bust it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, well, no, wait a minute. We're not going to answer cutting it to La Chikma completely. It actually would be defined by how you did it. So if you do it normally, Kedarka, and Kedarka is under the 10 Tfachim, as we'll see, so then it's indeed Usr, because that's what causes it to grow, in which case it would be the similar din to Zmira. When you do Zmira, you cut off pieces from, let's say, vine, and that causes the vine to grow better. So that would be the equivalent of Zmira, which is Usr b'Diraisa. So what you would have to do is you would go up 10 Tfachim, meaning above 10 Tfachim, which is not normally where you would cut it, or you can cut all the way down to ground level, which you would never do on a Betulat Shikma. And that way, since you're obviously doing it in this crazy way, therefore, Tainis Rebbe Yehuda, that would be mutter, because nobody would even think that you're doing it for Hashbacha, and it's done in a way that is really not a very intelligent way to do it, and therefore it's not the derech of the Avodat HaYilah. Okay, says the Gemara. Meidel b'zeitim. So what exactly is the shear of Meidel? So we have, interestingly enough, I mean, even though the Mishnah seems to address this, it seems that actually it's in a braita, it's a machloka. So the Gemara says, from here it's clear, you can either take out one tree, leave two trees, you can take out two trees and leave one tree, because that's what the Mishnah seems to have said. But the thing is that the braita says, Tani Devet Rebbe, Notel Echad Umini Ashnai. Mashma, the only way that Rebbe is matir is if you don't even have two in a row. You only took out one, and you're leaving two at inside. Now, how in the world is this supposed to work with the Mishnah? The Mishnah said beferish that if you're machali, what is considered to be machali? Shlosha. Is that betzad zeh? Now, I mean, it's pretty clear that that means that anything that is less than machli is called meidel. So then that would mean that meidel is notel shnayim umeniach echad. So, I mean, seems to be that there's a kind of brighter to say the opposite of the Mishnah. Oh, Merebi Yonah, no. The Mishnah is talking about batchila. Admita, the meidel batchila. Meaning that there's this concept difference between the fact that we included the Betulat Shikma in the Mishnah of Meidel is not a coincidence, because there is in fact an original thinning and then there's a subsequent thinning, in the same way that we have the virgin of the sycamore, there's also a virgin grove, and that's called where you're doing the first thinning. So as I pointed out earlier, the way that you plant usually, since you never know what tree is going to make it, you plant more trees than that amount of ground is going to ultimately support. So then you always come back to do that original thinning. But then after another year or two of growth, the trees get much thicker. And now at this point, you see all of those trees that you had left for the first thinning are still there. So now you're going to have to re-thin, because you've already gotten to the point where the ground cannot support a tree of that size. So what the Braisa was talking about, the Beit Rebbe, that's talking about B'medel Mikvar. This is now a second or a third thinning. Over there, Rebbe is saying, we don't have the kula to go even take out two out of three. Over here, you can only take out one. Okay, another question. A braita says, "Ein matzitin et ha'ur b'ishat kanim, mipnei shehi avoda." As Reb Shimon ben Gamliel matir. Now it seems that we have the same exact situation. It's very interesting that this is the way that hadasim are grown as well. In order to get kosher hadasim, you cannot plant a hadas tree and then simply harvest your hadasim. None of those hadasim will be hadasim shulashim, and it's almost impossible to find a kosher hadas. But what they do is they burn down the hadas. When it grows back as hadasim mishulashim. Now, the same thing was done in Ishat Kanim. Ishat Kanim means you've got this thicket of Kanim, of the reeds. And those kind of things are basically things that they're not edible. And nonetheless, it's considered to be Aveda, because that was the way, by burning them down, that you got them to grow back thick and nice. And therefore, it's considered to be doing work on this tree. Now, of course, the problem is that a reed does not have any edible piece. So why would it be us? You're not allowed. There's no Isser and Shvius, is there, of working on something that doesn't have a din of Shvius on what's growing? The truth is that that is the machlokas here. According to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do the work on the karka, even where what would grow out of that work is not something that would have kedusha shviyas, and therefore that's something that you would think would also be shviyas. It's two different halachas. There's the dinim of the growth of shviyas, and there's the adinim of the Shabbat Ha'aretz, Shabbat LaHashem, and that the land is not meant to be worked. So since the normal way of growing these ishat kanim is by burning it, so then you cannot do that. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that if there's nothing that is nogea, the dinim of shviyas here, there's no specific iser to do it by working the land. There's no iser to work land if not for agriculture. So it's not for agriculture. This is not called agriculture because there's no perish shviyas that will come out of this work whatsoever. We have the same achlokas. You'd be allowed to plant a pine tree on shviyas? On shviyas? You're allowed to plant trees? Yes. Because those trees do not have any kedusha shviyas, and therefore, what's the problem of planting them? Now, obviously, that means that according to the Tanakhama, who holds that it's usher, then it would be usher. And the Lashon of Rambam is, ein notim b'shviyit afilu ilan srak. Exactly. Because the Rambam is paskening like the Tanakhama. But ein achinani, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds, what would be the issue of working the land on things which themselves have no shvius?